Tom.
Tom.
Okay, Tom. Tom's speaking tonight, so you got, everybody give Tom a big high round.
That was awesome. Get up for Matt, though. We missed out with Cassie's Matthew John. All right. So it did work out that I got to speak tonight. And since it's a lot of you guys is kind of like last time here before school's out, I was just talking to Matt, and I was like, hey, I kind of been thinking about this message and whatever, and what do you think? And he said, yeah, sure. And so I was kind of thinking more and more, and I was like, well, what better thing to talk about, you know, before school's out than things you got to watch out for? So I was thinking about this message, and this message is called Heads Up. And I got a of heads up, and we found this picture because my story, I'll just keep hitting it. My story is in high school, I played football, and my best friend and I would goof off a whole lot together, and we'd be practicing, you know, you got to take a couple laps, coach wants you to take a couple laps, and he's like, and my friend would, on purpose, he'd go behind me, and I'd just be running along, and I try and beat him, and then he just grab a ball real quick, and he'd throw it. And right when he'd throw it, he'd go, heads up! That was kind of squeaky. That was probably still during high school. But he'd throw it, and so right when I turned, and I fell for it a lot of times, and it just, and it would. It would just hit me right in the head, and we'd laugh or whatever, and we'd goof off. So, yeah. That was just a funny example, and I'm glad we got this picture because that's pretty much what it looked like right before I got hit in the face or the helmet. So, anyway, so yeah, I don't know if I know everybody, and I was kind of thinking about that earlier. I was like, wait, do I know everybody? And for anybody who doesn't know me, my name is Tom. My name's Tom Beck, and I am from Nebraska. And, Stevan, you know this joke. And I know people, and they're like, hey, I drove through Nebraska once, and I never know what to say. And I'm just like, I remember you. You're a very good driver. But, yeah, and I actually was just home to Nebraska, and it was really good to be home. So I wanted to recap real quick about what Matt spoke about last week and his points. I don't know if we have those. We might not. To say. It says, what am I talking about tonight? Don't be ignorant. Oops. Sorry, I'm just reading here. Does anybody remember the points that Matt gave last week about not being ignorant? Or the devices? I'm sorry, not the points, the devices. Anybody? Who always remembers? Was it Curtis or Mike? Does anybody remember the devices that are used? Huh? Distraction? Yes. Very good, Ryan Brown. There's also lack of direction. Kind of like driving a car, hanging out. You're really bored. You got nowhere to go, so you just go nowhere, but you drive. Another device, unforgiveness. Heads up. So those are all things we need to remember that I mentioned. I want to kind of continue off of that. And so I gave you my football example. And I know God has always given me a big heads up. And it was personally when I got saved when I was 18. And I was in college, so there were a lot of things being thrown my way in a, you know, it wasn't private college, it was community college, a lot of things just happening. And I was introduced to Christ and everything, and it was so amazing. And a lot of people sometimes they can take a turn for the worse when they start in college. And I was very much fortunate enough to really, truly be saved when I had just started. So a verse that really stuck out for me that I wanted to mention is, and it's God's big heads up. We got that? We got that slide? Yeah. Okay, and it is. It's Proverbs 4:23. And that's the very, I think that's the very end, but that's okay. There we go. I don't know if you guys want to read this with me, but I'm just going to read it. And this is the Message version. For whomever likes the Message, it's keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil into the dust. Am I loud enough? Yeah? Okay. So the big question that I think everybody asks kind of in my point of life, I was like, well, yeah, I understand all that, but really, why? And that's I know a lot of questions like, well, why? Well, who? Well, whatever. But I was kind of asking myself, well, why? Okay, why? Where is this going to apply in my life? Well, it seems to apply everywhere. And I think what this is showing is that, sorry, I keep coming back to my notes. It's been a while since I've spoken. Because it's the truth. It just makes sense. Does that make sense? Everybody just like, yeah. I need some crowd participation. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right. Good. All right, so, and it's the truth. And later I also learned that with Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, I was thinking,
here you go.
Thank you. Okay, I can't remember what I was saying now. Okay, well, with it also stating in the Bible that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then I was saying, okay, well, then obviously the Bible's true. Look at all this stuff that it's saying. It just makes sense. It clicked. It just really clicked with me. And the truth that I was told was that by somebody who really said a lot to me, witnessed to me, was that he came up to me, and he was kind of an older guy. I remember his name's Michael Green, and he really creeped me out, to be honest, like when I just got saved, but he just comes up to me and he says, Tom, we're in times of war. And I'm like, yeah, we went to Desert Storm, we went to, you know, things like that. I'm like, of course, we always seem to be at war. At the time, Bill Clinton was the president, and I was like, well, yeah, we're at war. And he's like, no, you don't understand. He's like, you know the truth, right? About Jesus. And he said, you know he's real, right? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And he's like, well, you know who's just as real? And I'm like, me? You? I don't know. And I was very confused what he was trying to say. And he's saying, the devil's real. You know that, right? And he's like, I know you see all these movies. I know you see all these things. But you know he's real, right? And I was like, okay. Yeah, I guess so. I do now. He's like, you know, he's just as real as God, right? And I was still kind of confused, but something that he showed me about living in times of war with basically the war that goes on, what he put it is the war above our heads. And that in that war example, it says in 1 Peter verse 5, 8, and 9. Yeah. And this is, again, the Message version of keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So I was just blown away. He showed me that, and I think at the time I was reading some other version of the Bible, and it was like, he's going to devour you like a lion. And that's something that I was just like, are you serious? And he was all, he might come in the night, he might come tomorrow, he might come in 30 years, he might come. And I was just like blown away. It didn't make a lot of sense to me at the time. But the more we talked about it, the more it did make sense. And so that's what I do. That's what I'm telling you guys. Obviously, you know, Matt's talking about distractions, you know, things like that, the enemy that he wants to do to us. So he is real. And he doesn't want you to think that he's real. But I want to read this little, I don't know if you want to call it an expert passage, whatever it might be. Michelle got me this book on our 6-month anniversary. Yeah. And it's called Why the Heart, and it is for men. It's recommended that women read it to you. I mean, you guys can read it if you want, but it's helped me a whole lot. And it's funny because this month is our, on the 23rd, is our year and a half anniversary, and she gave it to me on our 6-month anniversary. So it was kind of, I still haven't finished it, and it's been almost a year. Oh, my God, a heckler. So this author, he's talking about the enemy, and he's talking about hanging on to the truth. And the truth is what we want. We don't want to be lied to by the king of all lies. And I'm just going to read this real quick. It says, in any hand-to-hand combat, there's a constant back and forth of blows, dodges, blocks, counterattacks, and so forth. That's exactly what we're going on in the unseen around us. It only takes place initially at the level of our thoughts. We are under attack. We've got to hang on to the truth, dodge the blow, block it with a stubborn refusal, slash back with what is true. That is how Christ answered Satan. He didn't get into an argument with him, try to reason his way out. He simply stood on the truth. He answered with Scripture, and we've got to do the same. This will not be easy, especially when all hell is breaking loose around you. It will feel like holding onto a rope while you're being dragged behind a truck, like keeping your balance in a hurricane. Satan doesn't just throw a thought at us. He throws feelings, too. Walk into a dark house late at night, and suddenly fear sweeps over you. Or just stand in a grocery line with all the tabloids shouting lust at you, and suddenly a sense of corruption is yours. So I think that's a really good example. That was a really good example for me of what Satan really tries to do, even when we don't even think about it. And I'll totally be honest, man, like, I had a rough week last week, and it had already been decided that I'm going to give this message. And actually, a week ago yesterday, the reason why I was home, because my grandfather passed away. And, you know, that was really hard. I couldn't concentrate at work. I was supposed to be paying attention, you know, and I was just off and thinking about, okay, what time is my flight going to leave? How much is this going to cost? Where's my parents going to pick me up? Where's this going to go? That, there. And I was just like, I can't be here right now, but I stayed, and it was hard. And I went home, and it was great to be with my family, to know that everybody's at peace, things like that. And I come back, and, you know, like, all these things, you know, I start to just think of just off things. Does that happen to anybody else? Like, you just start dozing off, or you just start spacing off, start thinking about something else, supposed to be paying attention. You hear Destiny at school, and you're just like, yeah, Peter, uh-huh. Maybe I'll go to Wendy's today. Maybe. So I was really drifting off, and then all of a sudden I get so tired. And then all of a sudden my throat starts to hurt yesterday. And things just happened. And Satan was trying everything he could to really just get me down. So you know when you're doing something good, that don't be surprised if something happens. And which brings me to, with this time of war, how much time do I have? Have I been going for like 5 minutes? 10:30. Okay, good. The game starts at 10:30. Oh, yeah. So with all these things, that's obviously a strategy. And that's something that's mentioned in this book, is that in any war, there's a strategy. So, you know, what are some of Satan's strategies, the enemy's strategies? And I was kind of thinking about this on the way back on my plane trip, and I was just like, okay, well, what does he try to do to me? And how can we all relate together about how we're under this attack also, and how we can rise above it? And so I was thinking of these examples about how he wants you to feel alone in your struggles. So if you are struggling with something, everybody seems to be struggling with something, because nobody's perfect, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, of course, right? We can all admit that, right? Good. Awesome. I mean, that's not, you know what I mean. But he wants us to feel alone in our struggles. You know, like, I don't even know of an exact example right now off the top of my head, but just like, oh man, I don't want to talk to anybody about this. I don't want anybody to know about this. I'm really ashamed of this. So he wants you to really feel alone. Has anybody ever felt that way? Like, oh man, like, I screwed up so bad, and I don't even want, and I feel so ashamed. I don't want anybody to know. There still could be things in anybody's life where you're still struggling with those things, and you still haven't told anybody. You could be struggling with it for up to 10 years. So he does. He wants you to feel alone in your struggles. Next thing I was thinking about was he wants you to hold on to your mistakes. And this is a really tough area for me because I've been way too hard on myself my entire life. And especially after I became a true, of course, what I consider a true believer and follower of Christ was, he's just saying, I mean, anything that you do, man, you failed that test. You really are not smart. You're pretty stupid. You need to do way better next time, but you're not going to because you're stupid. And it won't just go away. It just won't go away with your struggles and your mistakes. And something else is, and Matt mentioned this last week, was to not forgive others. Hold a grudge. Get mad at somebody. Don't even talk to them. I know there's a verse, and I wish I could remember where it was to go and talk to your brother. Those aren't the exact words. That's my version. But go and talk to your brother before the sun sets. Don't go to bed angry. That was in Proverbs. Yeah. This is a really big one for the next one. He wants you, and this one is so huge. Ryan Brown, you paying attention? Yeah, that's what I thought. He wants you to waste time. And he wants to distract you. Like I was saying at work, I was very distracted. And I was supposed to be paying attention. You know what I was doing? Like, first, I was at work, and I was writing down some ideas for this message. And I was supposed to be paying attention. And I was like, wait a minute. I shouldn't be focusing on this right now. This isn't the right time, the right place for this. I should be probably paying attention to my training. And so I was like, aha, I gotcha. And how many hours do you guys think you spend on the internet looking at stuff? Even stuff that'll make you struggle. Me too. Man, I used to go check my MySpace every day. Like last year, like, did Michelle message me? I hope so. Oh, is she getting online? That was good. It was good. You know, but I did. I sat there a lot. I'm like, I'll make her about 12 mixed CDs. Okay, this will be good. She'll know how I feel. But that wasn't a waste of time to me. It wasn't. But if I really did make like 12, I was just like, well, that's way too much. You could be doing something else. You know, because God does want us to stay productive and stay active. Things like that. Whoops. And there are so many distractions. Technology, you know, and don't get me wrong, it's definitely good. You know, there is good in a lot of things, but it also can be used for evil. And so he does. He wants you to waste time, distract you, just totally go off for those who think they're ADD or ADHD or whatever you want to call it, even though I don't even really too much believe in those. But another thing he wants to do is make you believe that he doesn't exist. Everybody here can say, yeah, I know the devil's there. But there are people out there, and they're just kind of free-for-all, and they don't know. But first, of course, we need to tell them about God first, and we need to tell them about Christ. But what do you think people are going to learn about first? Do you think they're going to learn about Satan first and see him on movies, see him on, you know, even just listen to people say it, like, oh, the devil made me do it. Oops. You know, just say things like that. Has anybody heard that before? Or is that a Nebraska thing? Like, you go do something stupid, and you're like, sorry, Dad, the devil made me do it. I didn't mean to scare you with the whoopee cushion when I was 10. I didn't mean to. But that's what he wants you to do. So he can get stuck up here, in here, and just destroy you. I know that the enemy is also called the king of all lies. The king of deception. We've got Christ our king, and we've got another king. And everybody's all, well, heaven's here. Hell's below us. If I dig deep enough, I don't know. It's weird. But really, in all truth, I try and see it above our heads. And it is. It's like so many things, so many things. But the very last thing is he wants us to just completely give up. He wants us to fail. Are all these up there? Right on. And it's so easy. It's just so easy to give up. Even this summer, summer's like a different time. It's kind of like, for those who are in school, I'm not in school. This will be a great opportunity to either go out and do something or stay on my computer. And there's nothing wrong with computers, like I said before. But he doesn't want you to be active. And he really does want you to give up. And that is the definition of failure, is just to completely give up. And he wants you to fail. If you do, let's say, like at my job, we take these assessments, which are, of course, tests. And everybody was talking today about how they bombed the test. And I was like, it's on the computer, and you just kind of answer these questions. And at the end, it'll say, well, here's your score. And then if you passed, it doesn't say anything in this next screen. And then if you failed, it just like comes this big screen and just flashes, failed, 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 failed. Not really. But it'll just say, like, tiny little world, it'll say failed. So I took this test today, and I did. I failed. I was like, yeah, how'd you do? I did all right. Actually, I failed. But really, I was just saying, I was like, you know what? That's exactly my message. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't fail. I'm not giving up. So I'm not giving up. And I don't have to take it again. It's just kind of for what you know. But really, you know. So he wants you to give up. And so really, I'm okay, it's like 10 after. That's good. So again, another big question to ask is, how can we avoid these things? How can I fight this battle and win in this strategy against me, sort of thing? And so I wanted to read the rest of that 1 Peter 5, and we'll read verse 10 and 11. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. Awesome. Oh. So what's that saying is we already have victory because Christ already won the war. And we're just completely here to help each other out, to forgive each other, to help each other, to love each other, to love others. So many things we've already talked about this whole entire school year that Matt's talked about. And something else I was thinking about really is to keep fighting that, to grow closer to God. We all know about, everybody calls it your quiet time. And something that I kind of learned with quiet time, which I do, I have a really hard time sometimes because it's just kind of like, well, what do I say? You know, when I first started out, I was like, oh, Lord, I love you, Lord. You're my Lord. I love you. Yeah, I didn't know what to say. But I found out later with these quiet times, it's just so much more important. It's studying the Word is always good. But it's even more than that, and it's connecting with God. And I want to encourage you guys to think about any kind of way that you connect with God, and you're kind of thinking, well, what do you mean? And you're all individuals, and you've been made individuals, and you've got what you like and what you don't like. And sometimes it's hard to kind of think about, well, how can I just concentrate? How can I go do something? Well, say for me, sometimes I'll just sit there and I'll just play guitar, and I'll go into a place where no, you know, like roommates, like friends, people, just whatever are going to distract me, and I just play. And I want to sit and just concentrate on God and just even just be silent and listen to him. And then after that, I get going, and I'm just like, okay, talk to me. Okay, let's just talk. Because it's a typical saying of, well, Jesus is your best friend. Sometimes it sounds so cheesy to some people, but that's how it's supposed to be. And if you want to get to know somebody, if you want to build a relationship with them, you're going to have to talk to them. And he is. Just all the sayings of he's there for you, he loves you. All this worship, everything that we're talking about, all the lyrics up there. Could you guys feel God tonight? I heard God in Stevan. And that was really good. So I encourage you guys to definitely find your connection with God, with Christ, with Jesus. And to, if it's going off, if you want to go run and just listen to music, some people find peace in that. So I just want to encourage you guys for that. And in this whole war with strategy, with the fight, that's what it is. It is a fight. And that's just it. We just need to fight for God, to be close to him. Christ has already won the war, but we're here to continue that. So that's what I do. I want to encourage you guys to do those things. You know, I know summer's coming up, and there's so many different things that can just come up. And do not be surprised, because that's what the enemy wants to do, is when you get right with God, he wants to come in and just totally take over, and he'll do anything he can. And he wants you to just go back to, well, why don't you just get numb again? Why don't you just get back into your comfort zone, and you'll feel better? But that's why we have to fight. That's why it's so hard to get up right in the morning after your alarm clock goes off and pray, or go brush your teeth and pray, whatever you want to do. That's why it's so hard. Mornings are hard. Is anybody a morning person? One person. Matt's a huge morning person, but he's up that late and then go to bed. But so I just encourage you guys to keep fighting. Don't give up. If you need help, if you know you're struggling with something, you need to talk to somebody. Come to any of us. Tell somebody, no matter how scared you are, because he wants you to be scared. So definitely keep your guards up. Know your surroundings. Be aware of your surroundings. You'll be able to know if it's God or Satan. You're not going to get a thought from God saying, go rob that bank. Steal that bass and that keyboard. You're not going to get thoughts from God like that. And you just got to be aware. You got to know. I think there's an old saying, and it just says, know your enemy. So I think that's it for me. So I'm glad that I got to speak tonight, and we love you guys. And I don't know, Matt, do you want to end in a prayer, or just end tonight or something?
Thank you, Tom. Everybody give Tom a big hand. Did a great job. Takes a lot of guts to get up here and talk in front of you guys. Not that I'm like patting myself on the back, because I do it every week, but you know, whatever. Now, Tom did great. You know what? What I really got out of what he was saying, you know, he said we do have an enemy, right? Right? And an enemy is somebody who attacks you, right? And if you don't know how you are being attacked, you're going to be in trouble. But if you can think about, okay, how is it that the enemy attacks me? Where are my weak areas? then you can build up a defense in that area. So I just encourage you guys, you know, think about it. You know, how was I attacked today? How was I attacked this week? And is it, maybe it's just dumb choices that you're making that's opening yourself up to attacks. So, you know, he talked about strategy. We have to be smart in these areas. But Lord Jesus, I pray you just bless this group of young people. Lord, I pray that we would understand that we are in a war and that we are under attack. God, I pray you would show us, illuminate areas of our lives that are weak. Lord, that our defenses are weak. Lord, that you would show us how to strengthen those areas. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, if you're in high school, small group this Sunday night. All right? All right. Bless you guys.